Brought to you by Penguin.
Small Island. 12 Maps That Explain the History of Britain. By Philip Parker. Read by Neil Gardner. Prologue. Britain is facing a unique moment of national crisis, or so many commentators would have us believe. This book is an attempt to explain why neither the moment, the crisis, nor indeed the Britain of today are unique. We have been here many times before, legs dangling awkwardly over the precipice of the future, fingertips desperately clinging to the certainties of the past. Each time the Britain, or earlier the England, or the Wessex, that conservatives or incumbents have fought to preserve, and incomers or radicals have struggled to overturn, has been a different one. To help illustrate this, I have picked 11 moments in the evolution of Britain and British identity, and one attempt to predict a possible future, both to show how we have arrived at our current state, and to suggest that challenge and change are inevitable companions to a nation's growth. Change, indeed, is the heartbeat of history, a reminder that we, as individuals, groups, countries or ideologies, are not moribund, safely trussed up in a library with the other tombstones of long-dead peoples and vanished beliefs. In the 7th and 6th centuries BC, the pre-Socratic Greek philosophers, the first to see the world as a subject for critical thought rather than the plaything of the gods, expended much effort on trying to discover the prime force that made up and moulded the universe. Thales of Miletus, the pioneer, came up with water. His successor, Anaximenes, plumped for air. Empedocles hedged his bets with earth, air, fire, and water, while Anaximander tried to sidestep the issue with a vague, boundless substance. Heraclitus of Ephesus, who was rather unkindly nicknamed the Obscure for his riddling demeanour, came up with the best solution of all. For him, change was the constant, the one thing that could be relied on. As he memorably summarised his view of history and the world, you cannot step into the same river twice. The image of history as a river and time as a stream, which carried us helplessly forwards, is not a novel one. Yet it is a particular conceit of our own times to insist that we can dam this river, stop history, and even wade backwards a decade or two to some imagined moment when national myths nurtured an idyll of self-contented ease. History has an awkward habit of breaking through. The fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989 was supposed to mark an end, as the triumph of liberal democracy in Europe left governments free of the age-old fear of war. That optimism was misplaced. Within a decade, the Balkans were once more ablaze, and 20 years later, Ukraine. We live in an age of anxiety, where the simpler the message, the more potent seems its force, the greater the throng who gather around its standard. Yet history is a complex and unsettling place, full of confusing countercurrents and riptides, which is why, perhaps, so many reject any but a stylized version of the past. History has varied uses, as salve for national pride, inspiration for martial endeavour, or simple treasure trove of stories. But above all, it is our ancestors' greatest gift to us, a means to discern, through the medium of their travails and triumphs, how we arrived at where and who we are. We cannot know the future, and we can scarcely grasp the present. History, then, is our single touchstone in deciding how to act, which social movements to embrace, and which political utopias to reject. The current question of whether Britain should be a primarily maritime or global power with its face to the Atlantic, or a land power fully engaged with...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?